Each November 11th, we make a conscious choice to mark Remembrance Day by actually remembering, by paying attention for one day at least to the sacrifices made by those who fought for our country. But for those who have risked their lives, there is no choice in the matter. They cannot help but remember, and they cannot possibly forget the comrades they fought alongside who never made it home. In 1944, James Moffat, a young tail gunner with the Royal Canadian Air Force, survived a mid-air collision over Belgium. He parachuted into the Nazi-occupied country, evaded the enemy, and joined the resistance in France. The rest, as they say, is history. Earlier this month, 93-year-old James Moffat was among a small group of Canadian veterans who met the President of France and were awarded the French National Order of the Legion of Honour. We reached James Moffat at home in Belleville, Ontario.
Mr. Moffat, how does it feel to get this Legion of Honour award from France?
It was out of this world. I just couldn't believe it. I had fought with the Marquis in France. They were asking people to go to the débarquement, you know, the invasion. I received information from southern Belgium that 70 years after the exact date they parachuted into Rachecourt, Belgium, they celebrated 31st of March this year at the cenotaph where my crew and the other crew are listed. We had a mid-air collision.
Now, so take us to that day, March 31st, 1944. What happened?
Well, we never flew in bright moonlight, and this night we flew in bright moonlight. We usually lost 40 aircraft or so. This night we lost 108 aircraft. And on the way back, everybody was off track because the wind was 100 miles an hour and they had forecast it as 50. And we had a collision. Lancaster crashed over the top of our Halifax. And I was a mid-upper gunner, but the tail gunner was killed. So I moved to the tail. And I was a farmer. I had good eyesight. And this collision, the other aircraft missed my section by about 4 feet. And I was the only survivor of both aircraft.
And so you parachuted then?
I parachuted down into southern Belgium.
Southern Belgium, Nazi-occupied southern Belgium.
Oh, yes. Then. Yes, they had been occupied for 4 years.
What did you do when you landed? How did you?
I landed. It was 4 o'clock in the morning. I was tired. I suspected that all my crew were killed, so I didn't disconnect the parachute. I just picked it up, walked into the forest, rolled up, and went to sleep. You're supposed to bury it and run for 2 or 3 hours.
But you were overcome with fatigue.
Yes, it was. We had been flying for 6 hours.
And you were also emotional because of what had just happened.
Yes, yes.
How did you met up with people?
That saved me because had I ran, there was a sort of a cliff. I would have fallen over the cliff in the dark. But anyway, next morning, I found out I was in Belgium and was walking along, and three bikers said, "Prisonnier, prisonnier." And I showed them the Canada badge on my shoulder. They said, "Lie down alongside of the hedge. The Germans are coming."
Wow.
So I laid there. This was about 10 in the morning. I laid there till almost 6 o'clock when it started getting dark, and they came, got me. They came and took me into a home at the edge of the village, and they burnt my uniform. And they said, "Can you ride a bicycle?" I said, "Yes." He said, "This man can't speak English, but he'll show you where to wait. We'll come at midnight and get you." So I sat in the forest, and then I heard someone yelling, "Albert, Albert." So I went out, and here's a fellow with a tam on, a little guy, and I said, "Canada." And oh, then he started speaking French. I didn't. And he rattled off some French, and two gendarmes come out of the forest. And Albert Paul was the gendarme, and another gendarme. The other gendarme spoke a bit of English. So he explained, "I'll go to Vital Paul, the brother of Albert. I'll stay overnight, and they'll come with a car the next morning and take me to Albert Paul's home, a place called Etal."
So you've joined up. This is the resistance, isn't it?
Yes. I hadn't joined anything. This was
they had joined you.
Rescue effort. Next morning, they took me in a car, and there was another airman from another aircraft in civilian clothes. So we went up to Etal, and we stayed there for a month and a half learning French. And my name was Charles Lebrun, and the other guy was Jacques Lenoir. And at the end of, the middle of May, Albert Paul took me out to see a bunch of stuff that some aircraft had dropped to his unit. He was the head of a resistance unit. 2 days later, I woke up. The wife was screaming, "The Boche, the Boche," and you could hear them breaking the door down. And Jones was jumping out the window, and I ran and jumped out the window. We were on the second floor. Started running across the field, and of course the Germans are up at the window by this time, and that's when I found out a rifle bullet makes a noise as it goes by, and the Sten gun, it only makes a noise when it hits the ground. And they sprayed it around my feet, and I thought, oh my God, they missed my legs. So I yell at Jones, "Let's go down the hedge." We didn't want to go down the hedge because there were little garden plots with barbed wire. So I had to run and jump and run and jump, but they couldn't see me. But they could see Jones, and they shot him in the leg and captured him, and he spent the rest of the war in prisoner of war camp.
But you got away, so...
I got away into the forest, but in jumping the wire, they were now shooting at me with a Sten gun. The bullets were hitting all the wire. So I thought, I'm not going to jump the next one. I'm going to crawl under. And my pants got caught, and I couldn't get them out. So I ran into the forest without my pants. And you could see 1,000 feet in any direction. I thought, I'm dead duck.
Wow.
But they hunted for me, and they even brought a dog. And the dog must have followed the German because he didn't sniff at the bushes. Later on, there's about 30 people looking for me.
You were able to get away from them that time, and then you stayed.
Yeah.
You stayed with the resistance to the end of the war, I guess, at that point.
Well, I had to find trousers, and they said they'd come and get me that night, but they didn't because the Germans were still there. So I walked down into France and accidentally met the French resistance and spent 3 months fighting with them. We'd block the highways and shoot anything that came along. I had my 22nd birthday with the resistance.
Wow. You're 93 years old now.
Yeah.
And you're still, this story is still so vivid in your mind, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And I've been talking to schools for 45 years. I celebrate remembrance with the school children. I do my talk, and then I spend an hour for the remembrance. They have a remembrance ceremony in the high school.
And the kids must love it when you have all the details about losing your pants.
Yeah.
You must really bring it to life for them.
Yeah. And I weighed 165 when I parachuted into Belgium. And when I came out, I weighed 120. And I had about 30 boils, and I had scabies. So I was 3 weeks in the hospital afterwards.
How long did you keep the name Charles Lebrun?
I had it all the time. I had false papers and so on, mainly in the resistance. They eventually called me Jim Moffat.
Was it Lebrun, as in, like, I'm thinking it was Charlie Brown they were calling you?
Well, I had brown hair.
Oh, okay.
The other guy had black hair, so he was...
Lenoir.
Lenoir, yeah.
Oh, it's a great story, and I'd love to talk to you, Mr. Moffat. Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
James Moffat is a World War II veteran. As a Royal Canadian Air Force airman, he survived a mid-air collision over Belgium in 1944 and went on to join the resistance in France. We reached him at his home in Belleville, Ontario.